Today's daf is daf Tesvav. We're holding at the beginning of the Perek Sheni and Fankata on the Halakha Mishnah. So we began in the last Perek discussing what the dinim are of someone who brings a get b'natayan that he has to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. You will recall, and unfortunately we have not ended our understanding of that sugi yet, it's incomplete. But you recall that fundamentally we began with Bachlokas of Rava and Rabba. According to Rava, the Chashash was of Lishma. According to Rava, the Chashash was Ein Eidim Mitzvim L'Kaivel. It turned out that everybody actually agreed that you need to have Eidim Mitzvim L'Kaivel, and it was only a question of Lishma. But then it got even worse, because it turned out that actually nowadays everyone is Bekein in Lishma. In which case, it's really only a Gezerah, because Shema Yarzor Hadover L'Kilkulei. But there's another question, and that is, in a case where you have a b'fanai nichtav, if the sfara is, as Rava says, then the problem is, why do you have to say b'fanai nichtav at all, since the ketiva is irrelevant if there's no problem of lishma. So for that, we had yet another issue, which it turns out that Rava actually also agrees to. And that other issue is that we were afraid that maybe people will mix this up with kiyum shtara. So if you believe, as shliach to say, that this is a kosher get, so people may think that, aha, so if you have one person that is made, that this is the signature of this Eidim, that makes a kosher contract even outside of Gidim, and you'll end up taking money, shalok kedin, and so on. So therefore, we made a gezerah according to Rava and according to Rabba, even though according to Rabba, b'fanai nechtav anyway is necessary because of the din of Lishma, but we'll see that here there are very essential differences between them. Because let's take a look at the case where we have the people knowing, and the only reason that we're keeping it going is because Shema Yahzor Adavar L'Kakula. So as we saw earlier, in cases that are unusual, such as where the woman herself brings her get, or where we have two people that are bringing the get, where there the Rabbana didn't make a takon, in places that are unusual, so there the new thing doesn't kick in of this chashash. The Iker question of Lishma, however, would still be true. So you can see that there would be differences. And remember that all of this begins ultimately because of our concern for Yura HaBaal. So if there's a mucker for him to be Ma'ara, that maybe he agrees that he sent the get, but he made a terrible mistake because he had found it in a garbage pail, or he bought it off of somebody and hadn't been written Lishma, which is not a problem according to Rava, it's a problem according to Rava. Or the Yura HaBaal, the whole thing is a fake, which is also a problem. And therefore, we need to be able to have Eidim Mitzvim L'Kaimei. The Rabbanan gave a special halacha to a shliach because of his responsibility to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, that makes him the equivalent, essentially, of two witnesses, and therefore there no longer is tolerance for the Yur HaBaal. You will notice that that last little piece creates a lot of difficulties, because, l'masha, why wouldn't that be sufficient for the reason to have to say b'fanai nechtam? Since the whole idea over here is that he has to take that level of responsibility, so maybe that's the only reason we're believing him. And yet the Gemara never offers that as a possibility. Furthermore, if that is true, that that's the reason, then what would be the excuse of Tosfos for disagreeing with Rashi? I'm bringing this all up just to remind you so that we can continue today because the things are going to come up again. For disagreeing with Rashi, that if the guy actually says, I mark here the signature, that would be just as good as saying the Fanai Nechtav of Fanai Nechtav. So if he says, well, I'm going to be made on it, then it would be kosher. So then, I mean, if that's the case, the only thing that would be miyachidit as being kosher is the fact that he says also b'fadai yichtab. These issues we need to keep in mind today as we get into more complex aspects of the cases. As until now, we kept things easy. We know the standard is, a guy says b'fadai yichtab, it's kosher. He doesn't say b'fadai yichtab, it's not kosher. But you can imagine that we could have situations in which we have variations on the theme. For instance, if somebody else says b'fadai yichtab, not the same person. Somebody who is a shliach, somebody who isn't a shliach. How about if two witnesses say b'fanai nechtav? And then you have one person, and so on. You can see how the different ways in which we understand the gezerah will force us to hone our understanding of the shitas of what lies b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. And having done the basic work in the first parak, the second parak wants us to get our thinking caps on. So, begins the mission. Hamevi Gate, Midinat Hayam, comes along a shliach and says, b'fanai nechtav, but he says, I'm sorry, it wasn't nechtam in front of me. Or he says, b'fanai nechtam, but it wasn't nechtav in front of me. Or, even if he would say, b'fanai nechtav, the whole thing, and sort of b'fanai nechtam, but only part. half. So I saw one of the signatures signed, but I didn't see them both signed. Or he could say, half of it was written off, because that's a little bit of a problem, because we said before you don't have to see the whole thing. We're going to have to say, as the Gemara will, that this means the half that's not good enough, which is the latter half. Because once he had said that I saw the first part that contains the name of the man and the man of woman, that would be enough already, because that's the Iker Torah of the get. But that part will become clear in the Gemara. Just don't worry about it now. In other words, that's something that we're going to deal with. So, or he says, therefore, the other way, that Bifanai Nechtav Kulo, Bifanai Nechtam Chetzio, or Bifanai Nechtav Chetzio, Ubifanai Nechtam Kulo, in all these cases, since the Shliach fails to achieve the takana that the Rabbanan gave him, which is he has to say v'nai nechtam, the entire thing, or at least the important part of the ketiva, forget it, the get is pasul, and you can't use it even b'diavad. Now, how about in a case where echad omer b'fanai nechtav, v'echad omer b'fanai nechtam? How about if you have one who is the shliach, who says b'fanai nechtav, and another guy who is not the shliach, he says b'fanai nechtam? So then it's pasul, because the shliach, and only the shliach, is the one who's believed as an individual to say both of these. Now the truth is, we had a machlokas earlier, there is a lashon that we had earlier that this would be true, even if both of them are shlichim. Because since you have one of them being made on the chatima, and not on the ktiva, so then people will be making the mistake of saying, okay, the guy who said that the ktiva is good, I mean, that's ridiculous, he's an eidecha. But apparently you could be Mekayim Shtarot al pi Eid Echad for the Chatima. So there, it could be that we would be Gozer even in that case. That was one of the Lashonos we had earlier. So again, we can't say absolutely what case we're talking about. It's dependent on how we're going to understand the Sugya from before. So there, if you have, in that case, Pasul either because one is a Shliach, one isn't, or even if both of them would be Shluchim, as we'll see, we'll get into that, a little bit of that issue coming up. Shnayim omrim befaneinu nechtav. How about if you have two witnesses who say that, yes, it was written in front of us, v'achad, and then you have a third person here who is, it's not the same one who said befanein nechtav, it's a third person who now comes along and he says befanein nechtam. And only one over here was a Shliach. If two are a shliach, we'll see that we get into the other issue, which is that there's no gezera, according to one cheetah, where two people bring the get. So let's consider that later, and think now that we have only one who is a shliach. So if one of them says, b'fanai nechtam, it's still possible. Because since the one who said b'fanai nechtam is not the one who said b'fanai nechtav, so we're going to end up, according to Rava, we're going to end up with the problem, and Rabbah agrees to this. It's the first time that we realize that Rabbah agrees to this. We're going to end up, perhaps, going to be Mekayim, other stories, al pi Eid Echad. Because since this guy doesn't have anything to do with the ones who said b'fanai nechtav, so people will think there's two different issues here. There was the Kiyum of the Shtar that was done al pi Eid Echad, and then there was other chashashas, maybe Lishma, they'll be thinking, whatever it is, that was done with Aiden. So that's not going to clear up our problem of making sure that it's got to be the same guy. So that's not going to help either. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's true. That's not true. Because people are going to say, wait a minute. Since when do you need Edim on the Ketiva? Whoever heard of such a thing? What, Stam, you bring a get, you need Edim on the Ketiva? I mean, if a woman presents a get, we know the Edim is here, you need Edim on the Ketiva. Must be because there's only in cases where there's Edim on the Ketiva, that's where we're ready to accept an Eid Echad for the Shliach, who says that B'fanai Nechtam. So therefore, Tainas Rabbi Yehuda, they'll be smart enough not to mix this up with Kiyum Shtarot in general. So Rabbi Yehuda, because of this, he's Machshir, and he says, in this case, nobody's going to come to get confused, because in this case, he is being supported over here with a unique requirement that we never heard of before. So if you have Edim on the Ktiva, nobody is going to think that this is a normal case. So according to this, we'll see later on that I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, if one would say b'fanai nechtav, and one would say b'fanai nechtam, so again, then nobody's going to get it confused, because they're going to say, yeah. Well, I mean, even though only one said it, why did the ktiva get involved in the court? That's irrelevant, isn't it? Must be it's a special didn't get, so they won't think. So the truth is, the Gemara's going to question later on, why does Rabbi Yehuda only say a statement here? But okay, at least this much we say. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, no chashash of mixing up because of the ketiva, then there's no reason not to accept a shliach who says b'fanai nechtam without b'fanai nechtam. Now, of course, that also gets us into the issue of the lishma, but over here we have witnesses on the lishma. Echad omer b'fanai nechtav, u'shnayim omrim b'fanai nechtam. If you have two witnesses who say b'fanai nechtam, so then it would be kosher. The relationship of this, who these two are, and what we need one to say b'fanai nechtav, we will discuss later on in the Gemara. So, it says in the Mishnah, the whole thing may be get, and he only says part of it. B'fanai nechtav, but not b'fanai nechtam, or vice versa. I don't understand. It's completely repetitious of the first Mishnah and the first parak. I mean, hatulamali. Why the heck are we going over all of this again? This was the whole first Mishnah in the Masechta. Maybe get v'minatayam tzarich sheomar b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam. Okay, what does that mean to you? That if he doesn't do it, it's not a kosher get? No, I mean, says Gemara, well, not necessarily. The meaning of tzarich is often the word that we used for a desirable din. So I would have thought that the meaning of tzarich is tzarich, but, you know, if you didn't do it right, you didn't do it right. What can we do? V'ilo amar would still be kosher. Kamashbalan, that tzarich in this case is ma'akev, and that the get is possible if you cannot say b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtav. Okay, that explains the first part of the Mishnah. So we're just coming to make it absolutely clear that it's got to be done 100% kitakonos chachom. The next part of the Mishnah that says b'fanai nechtav chetzio, b'fanai nechtam kulo, is possible. Now obviously, once we know this, we don't need the first part of the Mishnah. Because, I mean, over here the guy is able to say at least something about the b'fanai nechtam, or something about the b'fanai nechtam. In the first case, he couldn't say anything. Lo b'fanai. So that, the Gemara is going to say, the Mishnah is constructed along the lines of lozo avzo. It's not only in a case where the guy cannot say anything about the ktiva or the chatima, as the case may be, but he may say something, but not enough, such as chetzio. Okay, so that doesn't bother us, mi'ikr, because Mishnahs are often constructed along those lines of lozo avzo. We're ready to go with that. We see that we're going to get into trouble a little bit in the Gemara with the structure of the Mishnah and why it's written this way. But we'd like to understand, says the Gemara, when you say that little throwaway thing that you said, "Fanai nechtav chetzio," which chetzio? Because remember that we said before, as long as it's the Torah faget, it's not a problem of chetzio. So which chetzio do you mean? When Eilei mechetzio rishon, if you're talking about the first part, we said before, "Amar Rabbi Elazar, afilu lo katov bo elo shita achat ishma shuvin otzarech." What would be the point of a witness being required to report on the entire thing? Because even if the first line was written lishma, that would be sufficient for what is necessary, and undoubtedly that would be true even if our concern is Eina Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, not mixing it up with the standard. I mean, that would be the maximum that we need to worry about. So why wouldn't that be kosher? Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Chetzio Ha'acharon. Actually, it's the last part. So remember that going back to the first didim of the Mishnah, I mean, the truth is that there are slightly different stresses according to Rav or according to Rava. Because if we're worried about saying b'fanai nechtav avalo b'fanai nechtam, so then the issue over there is that you're going to have a problem, according to both of them, of Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimai and Lishma, according to Rava. If you have the latter case of the b'fanai nechtam avalo b'fanai nechtav, so then according to Rava you have a fundamental problem of Lishma. According to Rava, you have the problem of mixing up the Kiyam Shtaris to Alma with this case. And, as we'll see, according to Rava, the truth is we also have a concern for that. But we have the additional concern of the Lishma, or the possibility that things may go back if people are Bekiyam Lishma, to Kilkulam, that they're not Bekiyam Lishma, which could make some nafkamina later on. So that this piece over here, even though we say it begetter, that the concern is only Lishma, but the truth is that once we've established what would be necessary, even if we had a concern of Lishma, it would certainly be sufficient for us to say even Aliba to Rava. Because according to Rava, the only reason we're saying Fanai Nechtav is anyway to avoid the confusion. So we're going to look for reasonability in saying Fanai Nechtav, right? So what is that reasonability? Well, we're not saying, why don't we just say, make sure that he stands on his head and spits wooden nickels to make sure that no one will confuse with Kiyam Shtaris D'Alma. Because it's reasonable to say, again, it's something that needs to be written Lishma. We want you to take Achrayas. So therefore, we're putting you in this position. Oh. But it's sufficient if it would be the first line, even according to Rava, according to Rava. So therefore, it would make sense. You see how close the two shitas are, ultimately. Very, very minor differences between Rav and Rava, we've pointed out many times. So l'chor, if it was the first line that has the Shema Ish for Shema Isha, that is the main Torah. Forget, we talked before about those Rishonim who also require Hareyat Muteres L'chol Adam, because that's the Torah. Forget, but over here we can assume that the whole thing was written Lishma, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. So what could it mean? Elam Ravashi, well, obviously, the only thing it could mean is Chetzer Achara. That the case over here is that he's saying before Nayim Yechtav only the toface of the get, which is the part that's generic, not the part that needs to be written specifically for this Isha Nisha. And therefore, in this case, it wasn't kosher because he did not provide the necessary formula to have a kosher get as a shliach. Okay. The next case that we had was b'fanai nechtav kulo u'b'fanai nechtam chetzio. I was misleading you, because that isn't the next case. Actually, the Gemara has managed to flip the cases. And so remember, I told you we're going to get into trouble in the Gemara about the Seder of Lozu Avzu. There is serious question as to how this Mishnah is constructed. Some indeed have it the other way around. And we'll see the reasons for this. Some of the Rishonim have the other gears. However, there are explanations of the way that it's written in our Gemara as well. So we'll pretend for the moment that it's not all that important. Okay, but the truth is, if you're concerned about what the Gemara just did in flipping the order, you have a right to be. And indeed, there are other Gersos in the Mishnah that present this as the actual order. So beginning on now to the next case, supposedly. So b'fanai nechtav kulo, b'fanai nechtam chetzio. Okay, so you're saying over there that it's possible. Says Rav Chista, I have a big chiddush that I want you to hear. I believe that in this case it would be possible, even if you have two witnesses that come in that are not connected to the bringing of the get. You just come in from outdoors, walk into the court, and they are me'idim al chatimat yad hasheni. They look at the other witness and say, oh, he can't be made at b'fanai nechtam that half? We'll be made on that half. Amazing. That nonetheless, it's not kosher. It's still possible. Now, what possible reason could there be for this? My timer says, Rav Chista, I will tell you. Because o kulo b'kiyum haget, o kulo b'takanat chachamim. There's no such thing as a shliach's ne'emanut to say b'fanai nechtam chetzio. So what do you want to do? You want to say, well, yeah, you don't really need the shliach's ne'emanut in this case anyway on the other one, because you have two standard witnesses that are giving a kiyum to the other signature. So fine, so in this case it's basically irrelevant, so then let's just switch over and say, what he said had to be said, he said. Ah, he left out the other part, but we didn't need to hear the other part in this case anyway. No, you can't say that. Because the takana is meant as a takana. Either it's done properly, ketikuno, and then we believe him, or he can't say what he needs to say, and therefore what he's saying is irrelevant. So then if the two witnesses would have said, we could be made on both, fine, but they can't. So we don't have a standard kiyum, and we don't have the unique kiyum of get. So we have nothing. You can't put two things together that have no connection to each other. Maske for Rava says, Rava, it just doesn't make sense. It's very lumdish, but it does not make sense. What exactly are you saying over here? And of course, the logic would be that ultimately he does not feel the responsibility, of course. The whole point, remember, why were we willing to accept a single shliach? Because the whole thing is on his head. And therefore, he's going to be very medayik. In this case, he's coming forward. He said, look, I really don't know. But we have witnesses. Look at them. So we can't look at you if we have witnesses. That's the point. So, I mean, it's not that it doesn't make sense. It's not an abstraction. The Alma makes a good deal of sense. So explains Tosis. So now, what Rava Tainas is, does it really make sense on the bottom line? I mean, is it possible, me, committed? Do we have something to Ilo Amachat? So the same guy would have said that he does know the other signature, right? So then it would be kosher, even though he's an Eid Echa. So now, because we have two Eidim, we're going to be Ma'arer, what he says about the one. That doesn't make sense to me. I mean, ultimately, obviously, says Tosis, we're going to have to say that Rava holds that beneath it all, there's no chashash that he won't be medayik just because he has backup. Because otherwise, I mean, well, we're talking theory here. But in terms of the psychology, it was still a meaningful point. So, we're going to say, hashtika trait, possible. There's no mechanism for such a thing. It's weird. One person would be believed, but where we have two good witnesses, then it's not believed. I don't believe it adds up. Elohim, Rava, Rava said, look, you want to say a Chiddush? I'll tell you a Chiddush. But I would not go as far as you would go. Absolutely not. I would say that Afilo, who, in a case where you have the Shliach himself is saying, B'fanai nechtav, and another guy now comes along, V'achar, so another guy joins him in being Me'id on the Chatima of the second guy. So the Shliach essentially is saying like this, look, I did not see the signature, but I do recognize that signature. I saw the first signature. Now another guy comes in and backs him up. So l'chora, we have a normal kiyum for the other signature. There, I want to tell you a chiddush, that over there would be posel, even though had he said himself that the get was necht on the fun of it would have been kosher, but since over here he can't say it, and essentially what are we doing legabe? The other signature, we're doing a standard kiyum with two witnesses. So now we got a real problem, my timer. Oto lichluvi became shtaras the alma. Since the whole reason for the takon, according to Rava, to say b'fanai nichtav in the first place, to which Rava certainly agrees that this is a concern, but it's avoided anyway by the nature of the takana, was to say b'fanai nichtav in order to avoid confusion with kiyum shtaras the alma. In a case where you're actually going to be doing kiyum shtaras the alma on one of the signatures, so then it's really very misleading. People will say, oh, in other words, you have one guy over here that's going to be made. In a case where you would have one person to be made here, and he is going to be the sole support of one of the other guys. So let's say you have one of the witnesses saying, look, this is my signature, and I want to tell you, this is my friend's signature. So we say, well, but you're only one witness, sir. Well, that's okay. Joe, you recognize this signature? Absolutely. He says, well, now you got two witnesses. The din over there is it's no good. Why? Because one person is taking three-quarters of the responsibility. Because he's telling us his own testimony, which is fine. He can identify his own signature. But now he's also being utilized for half of the remaining half. So that means it's a total of three-quarters on his head and one-quarter on the other head. Boy, this sure looks like exactly the same situation. So here, even though it's really two completely different mechanisms, what people are going to say, apparently it's not a problem to have three-quarters coming from him. So since we have the other eight over here, it's still not going to help you. So by the get, when he said, v'nai nechtam chetzio, so he now is essentially being Mekayim, the first Chatima. Now he's bringing another one to be Mekayim the Chatima, the other one. So it comes out again. Three-quarters of the testimony is all built around him. And if we're going to allow this to work, then they're going to say the same thing should be able to work in the name of Amidus. Maskev or Ravashi. Ravashi throws back the same thing on Rava. Maskev or Ravashi. Excuse me, sir. Can you explain to me? The Shliach would have finished saying, I know the second signature. Because we said before, and here we had a mentioned too, we're going to get back into the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. We had this issue before. If a guy just says, I know, not b'fanai, I recognize. Wouldn't that be kosher? So over here, had he said, I know, on both of them, it would have been kosher. And now that he has another guy with him, now all of a sudden it becomes pusl. God, does that make sense? Because we have more namanas, so now we can't accept it at all. And I think that's outrageous. How could it possibly, in this case, be pusl because we have an additional person here? It doesn't make sense to me at all. Okay, so again, this is pashtus, according to Rashi. This is really true. The guy could have said Yadati instead of saying Bifanai. He would have said Yadati on both. It would have helped. Tosis holds over there, no, the Gemara didn't mean literally to say Yadati because it's only because of the fact you're saying Bifanai Nechta, Bifanai Nechta, that it's kosher at all. We'll say over here that the words Ilo Asik Dibure, that Ilo Asik Dibure means had he finished saying Bifanai Nechtam on the second signature, there he would have been Neman all on his own, and we wouldn't be afraid that maybe we're going to say that Shar Shtaris B'Almer Adan, because he did say B'Fanai Nechtav. So what's the point? Over here we also have, if you have somebody else be Mitztarif to him, we still have the B'Fanai Nechtav to make it clear that something, it doesn't make it any worse. So again, according to Tosfos, it's a much weaker Taina, because it's obviously introducing other things besides what the Gemara is saying. Therefore, I throw back the same thing against you. So I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you. If he can identify the other one with another witness, there's no problem with that. However, I do think there is a chiddush in this argument. And the chiddush is, I think, is like this. El Amar Ravashi, what I'm saying is that Afilo Omer Ani Hu Aid Shani. Even if he says, well, it wasn't signed in front of me, that's because I'm the one who signed it. So how can it be signed in front of me? So there you'd think, well, that for sure is okay. No, that's a chiddush, and it's possible. My time, why is it possible? Because, oh, kulo b'kiyam aged. So it's either we're talking over here, a person is neman al chatimat atzmo. Yeah, but we're not doing kiyam here. So either you're going to do kiyam, or you're going to do the takanas chacham in fanei nechta fanei nechta. You cannot combine those two issues. So it's either kulo b'kiyam aged, or kulo b'takanat chachamim, that you're going to be able to say on both of them fanei nechta fanei nechta. But not that you should say on one of them fanei nechta, which is the takana, and on the other one, this is my own signature. Yeah. That isn't kosher. And Tosfos is very bothered by this because he could throw the same question back on himself. I mean, what are you saying? Mi'ika mi? You can say over here too. Mi'ika mi? If he would have said before 9 o'clock, it would be kosher. So now, because he's the one that signed on it, that's worse. Does that make sense? He's the very guy himself. Of course, according to Tosfos, that's a very powerful question because Tosfos had to learn that it wasn't really talking about Yadat in the previous case. So therefore, the Ri says, look, the truth is that this is really built around the way the Yerushalmi understood the sugya, that when he says, Aniu Eid HaSheni, he's viewed as having a negiut in the Eidus. Because now he wants to support what it is that he signed. And therefore, he's not accepted with Takanat Chachamim. In other words, either you're going to have real Kiyam here, two witnesses identifying him, or he's going to mess himself up by now introducing something which involves him personally in the testimony. So even though that's not what the Gemara is saying, says Tosfos, the Gemara doesn't say that. It says that it's a different problem. But it's because it's not a true negiut. It's that we combine the two issues that we said. And it's always like that. Throughout the sugya, when we've been saying either or, it wasn't some kind of abstract idea that you can't put together apples and oranges. It had to have an internal logic. The internal logic is really based around the idea of negiut beidut, as the Yerushalmi makes clear. And this is the way that we phrase it in order to provide the mechanism. We always need a mechanism. It's not really negiut beidut, but put it all together. Look, it's not what we wanted. It's not what we were mitaken. So we keep it pure. It's an either or. But in each case of excusing why we don't put it together, there's obviously an underlying rationale for why we won't put it together. Sorry. So that's my chiddush, Tanya's Rav Ashi. Okay, so now we have three possible chiddushim here that are not innate in the Mishnah, but that Rav Chista, Rava, and Rav Ashi, in that order, have suggested as additional points to take into consideration in the Mishnah. So the original chiddush was that according to Rav Chista, even if you had two witnesses on the other chatima, it wouldn't be good. Which is a tremendous chiddush. According to Rava, the chiddush was that it's talking about over here that he himself is able to be made with another guy. That's not good enough. And that's because of its confusion with three quarters in a shtar moment. And then we had Rav Ashi's chiddush that in a case where he's actually the aid and identifies him as the aid, there's also a problem. Okay. It says the Gemara, okay, but the biggest chiddush, Rav Chista's chiddush, that we can disprove. Taina Rav and Rav Ashi. We can disprove that. Why? So here is our problem with Rav Chista. Something more like this. Tonight, we had in the Mishnah the case, Bifanai nechtav kulo, Bifanai nechtam chetzio. It's possible. So if the whole thing was written in front of me, but only one of the witnesses signed in front of me, we said it's possible. Now, let me ask you something. What was happening with the other half? Ida chetzio. What happened with the other half? Hechidami. Is it talking about nothing? Nothing happened at all? Nothing, there was no testimony at all about the other half. That's ridiculous. Because, how about the case that we have, where we have full testimony about both the Ktiva and the Chatima, which comes, if you take a look back at your Mishnah, that is the case that we have now, at the end, following the first four cases, Echad omer b'fanai nechtav, Echad omer b'fanai nechtam, pasul. That case certainly would include this case, because, I mean, I would tell you straight off the bat, I would say we're over there. Tahai kamasid akula ktiva. Vahai kamasid akulo chatima. So there you have witnesses straight across the line for everything, both for the ktiva and for the chatima. One person. And nonetheless, the Mishnah said it was possible, okay? So, I mean, obviously, if you only have half of a testimony, it's not going to be good. So, if it's chetzio mi boy, what do I need the cases for to tell me chetzio? Can you explain to me that? So clearly, something must have happened with the other chetzio that we're not addressing. Therein lies place for the chiddush that everybody's been talking about. Where do they find this chiddush hidden in the Mishnah? This is where the chiddush is hidden in the Mishnah. It's got to be something else. Okay, so what are the possibilities? Possibilities are Rav Ashi. I'm the other aid. Possibilities are Rava. There's one other aid, and we could join together because I recognize it. And then there's a third possibility, which is tremendous chiddush. It's two full witnesses, and there's no way that there's going to be a problem. Nobody's going to confuse this. We have a kosher, two witnesses, and so on. And afal pikein, it's o kulo betakonos hachomim, or it's kulo es bekiyum again. I ask you, if the Tana is keeping this open, because there's no other excuse. What's he saying it for? Could have skipped this whole piece, right? So if the Tana is keeping this open for the sole purpose of telling us a chiddush, remember that the rules of telling us a chiddush always apply Akram's razor. What's the minimum you can get away with? I'll tell you one thing. Rava and Rav Ashi might argue about which one is inclusive of theirs. But to tell me two witnesses, which is a classic halacha of Kiyum, both of their cases involve problems. I understand that where the guy is three quarters, that's always a problem, Dini Mamlis. Where the guy himself is now the aide, maybe Nagias, I understand. But Rav Chista, if the Tana set a special case to teach us a Chiddush, so it's not the pshat that he's leaving out the Chiddush. He wants to teach us a Chiddush. Okay. It ain't your Chiddush. Because if he wanted to teach us your Kiddush, he would have had to say so. So if he hadn't said this case at all, you could have said, look, the Tana wasn't Yerid to tell us every case what was going to happen. He left this case out. I'm telling you this case. But if the Tana inserts a case in the Mishnah to tell us the Kiddush, then he did a horrible job because he sure left your case out. So you see that your case is wrong. And indeed, if two Adam would have come, forget about it. That would have been perfectly okay. There you go. So therefore, it must be Ella, I mean, the only thing that could be left is either Rava's approach or Rav Ashi's approach. But certainly not Rav Chista's approach. So it's Lafukim and Rav Chista. What in the world are you talking about? The case in the Mishnah is coming to tell me a Chiddush? You can't believe that. This whole Mishnah is set up as a lo zuav, so there ain't no Chiddushim. I'll prove it to you. Look at all the other cases in the Mishnah that don't have any Chiddushim in them. They're all being said, because otherwise we could just end with the end of the Mishnah and we'd know everything from before. So obviously, your whole Tana was, well, the Tana wanted to hint at a case that it wasn't your case. That Tana didn't want to hint at any cases. The Tana constructed a Mishnah along Lo Zuavzu. So you're making up this whole thing, says Rav Chista. Says Rav Chista, excuse me, but v'le taimech. And what are you going to do with the other case? B'fanaynech tav, avalo b'fanaynech tam. Lomeli, make exactly the same kal v'chomer if we had full testimony. So what? And that's not good enough. On the whole of v'nai nechtav, the whole of v'nai nechtav. Ella, you have an answer to that one? No. Your answer is lo zo avzo. We start off with the easiest, where I didn't say anything about it, where I said half about it, where somebody else held it. Okay, exactly. So the Mishnah is constructed on lo zo avzo, so this is exactly the same. So then here too, the Mishnah, hachanami lo zo avzo katani. And therefore, there's absolutely no indication in a mission that was not coming to address this hidden area of the Chiddush of either me, you, or Rav Ashi, nothing to prove from it whatsoever. Now, once we've come here at the beginning of this parak to discuss abstractly the interaction of two different mechanisms to achieve a single end, because the whole way we put it is, O kulo betakarat chachamim, O kulo bekiyum hashtar. We are going to unbelievably use that as the pattern, the abstract association of two principles for all the remaining cases that we're about to tackle now. Okay? Even though it has nothing to do with Gittin. But do we allow combination of mechanisms for takonas? Okay. So we have a similar halacha for Hilchas Shabbos. So Vayochid Shabbos, we have a din that a Rishus Hayochid has to be Rishus Hayochid because it has mechitzes that's separated from another Rishus. So it's surrounded by mechitzes of 10 tefachim in height. Okay. Question, how many mechitzes are derisa that creates a Rishus Rabbi? Is it 3? 2? Whatever. Okay. But whatever it is, mechitzes are mechitzes. We have another halacha that if you have some other sign of a separation of a Rishus, for instance, you dig a pit that's 4 by 4 tefachim by 10 amas high, that also creates a separate Rishus. It's not mechitzes, but it's clearly delineated by the fact that it's moved off of our Rishus downwards. How about if it's half and half? How about if you have a pit which is 5 tefachim deep, and you're surrounded by a wall which is 5 tefachim high? So now, on ground level, you don't have mechitzes of 10 tefachim. In the bor, you have a differentiation of 10 tefachim, but only 5 of it really has the din of mechitza, and the other is the separation that's due to its depth. What about that? Says Rav Chisda, for the same reason, it's the same Rav Chisda, that I told you, you cannot be mitzarif, the kiyam of edim of one signature, with b'fanai nechtam, the same thing would be true that if you have 2 separate dinim, when it comes to mechitzas, gidud chamisha. So you have the gidud, meaning the edges of a pit of 5 tefachim, and a mechitza chamisha, a mitztafi. You cannot put these two together to create a rishus hayachid, either at your okulo b'mechitzot, okulo b'gidud. It's one or the other, which you can't have both. By the way, Tosfos always has a different explanation of this sugya, because of the fact that relative to the person in the bar, this should be perfectly kosher mechitzas. And he learns it to be a more complex case of a combination of dual-level terraces. But this is Rashi's shot, although we'll stick with the Rashi. Dorash Marema. Gidut chamisha mechitza chamisha mitztarfim ve'yochata mitztarfim. In fact, halacha is not like Rav Chisda, and we allow a tziruf of the one we just described. Boy, Ilfa, I got another interesting case for you. Can yadayim be torot lechatzaim or in torot lechatzaim? Is there a way of using half? It's like we wanted to use over here half of b'fanai nechta. Can you use half of an etilat yadayim? What is that supposed to mean? What do you mean half? I mean, ilayim adakamashu betrei merevit. What does half mean? That 2 people used 1 revit? So is that the point? I mean, that's not a problem. Matnan merevit notlin liyadayim lechad afilu lishnayim. Once you start off with the revias, it doesn't matter if you've got 2 people. It doesn't have to be a separate revias. The revias is the shear. So that can't be the case. Ela, the kamashi chota chota yodei. Is it because you wash your hands through separate takonas? Also, atnan. Hanotu yodo achat benetila, vachat b'shtifa. Yodav Torah? Suppose you go ahead and you put 1 hand into a stream, and the other hand you pour water over it. That's all. It's all netilat yadayim. You don't say, well, this is really netilat yadayim, this is tefilat yadayim, so it's not the same thing. It says Beferish that it is mitzvah. So that can't be. I mean, certainly he knew the Mishnah. He wasn't asking what the din is about the Mishnah. Ella, the only case I can figure is that he's talking about the kamashi palga the yaday. He washes his hand piece by piece. So first he washes 1 part of the hand, and then he washes the other part of the hand. And that's the question. And also, Amidavei Rabbi Yana Yadayim ain't Torot L'chatzayim. Either you do an Etilat Yadayim, or you don't do an Etilat Yadayim. 2 half the Etilat Yadayim, they're not equal 1 Etilat Yadayim. So that's not the case either. So for God's sake, what case is he talking about? Lotzir, the only possible case is the Ika Mashke Tofeach. What happens is that the hand that he initially, the half of the hand that he initially washed, is dampish. So his question is, if it's dampish, is it viewed as a continuation of the initial natila when I now wash the other? Or is it considered to be dried and I did it by halves? So I say, well, who cares if there's mashke tofeach? Mashke tofeach may have it. Who cares about mashke tofeach? It's a beferish in Mishnah. Vatnan, it says beferish in the Mishnah that a nitzok, if you are pouring water from one place to another, from one container to another, or a katafris is where you have water flowing down the edge of a mountain, so that you have now movement from top to bottom, or mashke tofeach, which is the case I assume that you're talking about, where you have damp, is not considered to be a chibur. Let's say you poured something from a kli that was tahar into a kli that's tamei, and you have now a stream of water that's attaching these two kelim. We do not say that the bottom kli was mitame, the upper kli. Same thing is true about katafras. You're pouring water along the edge. If the water on the bottom was tamei, that does not make the water on top tamei, just because of a katafras. The same thing would be for mashke tofeach, that it's you, if you have now, let's say, a little bit, let's say you have one of these serving platters, a little hole on one end, a little hole on the other end, and the top is damp. And now you have water in one and water in the other. So you have mayim that is torah, mayim that is tamei. The damp on top is not mechayber, those two waters. Okay, that part's not relevant to the question, but this part is velola tahara. So let's say you have two mikvos, where you do not have arboim sa in one of them, but they're connected with something that's damp, or actual stream of water, a nitzuk or a katafras, that's not considered to be a chibur either. So there you go. So that means lagabe tahara. Certainly lagabe tahara, the niyadai. The fact that something is damp does not mean that there's water on it still. We ignore the damp. So there's your solution. So I don't get it. No matter what we look at, there's no question. He didn't ask a meaningful question. Can't be talking about separate netila tefila. Can't be talking about only doing half. It can't be talking about drawing half. It can't be talking about the tvicha of half. So what is he talking about? Says Gemara. What Ilfa was talking about is lo tzricha. De'ika tofeach amanat la tvicha. That's the case. So where we spoke about in the Mishnah that you just quoted, that's all very nice where it's damp. But it's not damp enough. This is the shear of dampness that's still considered to be mayim. It's not damp enough that if something else would touch it, that thing itself would also become damp. So Mamela, even though you can sense the dampness in it, but when you remove your finger does not take damp with it that can be sensed by anybody else. So that's not called tofeach hamanat latfiach. Ilfa's question is, how about if it's tofeach hamanat latfiach, so that you're leaving your hand wet, and now you want to pour the rest of the water now over the rest of the hand after refilling the cup? Can the wet on your hand extend the original netilah so that it's now considered to be all one act of netilat yadayim? That's his question. That's the one I was not going to help you. Honami tinina, it says beferish. Tofeach latfiach is a chibur, both for Tuma and for Tyrus. In the same way that he knew the solution about tofeach that's not amanat latfiach, he should know the din about tofeach that is amanat latfiach. So this still doesn't help us. Ilfa's not asking something that's meaningful. Says the Gemara, no, wait a second over here. Dilma, when it says over there that tofeach latfiach is considered to be a chibur, it's talking about specifically something that has nothing to do with dampness. It means it's a chibur according to Rabbi Yehuda and the dinam of mikvaot. And that is not because tofeach manat latfiach is considered to be chibur, it's considered to be a din which is called gud achit. Namely, take something and force it down. What are we referring to? It was very simple. The case is detnan. Mikvah sheyesh bo arba'im sa'am mechuvanot. You have a mikvah that has precisely the amount of water necessary for Torah and not one drop more. A guy goes in and he's tovel. Now, obviously, when he walks out, he takes some water off with him. So two people go into the mikvah. Yodu shnayim v'tavlu, b'zeh achazeh, only the Rishon is tar, but the Sheni remains tamei. The first guy who goes into the mikveh, he is tahor. But if the second guy comes in after he goes out of the mikveh, then the second guy is tamei. They'd have to be in the mikveh simultaneously to be tar. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, and this is the chiddush that we're referring to, says Rabbi Yehuda, wait, not necessarily. If the second guy gets into the mikveh while the feet of the first guy are still in the mikveh, see, ima yuraglav sharishon nogod b'mayim, then even the sheni is tahar. Why? Because then we consider the water that's on him to be in the mikveh not because of the svara of tofeach hamanat latfiach, but because since there's water dripping into the mikveh, we view it as already having dripped in, and we say god achit. It's as if it's all there. So there, afasheni tohar. Maybe that's all that was meant over here when it says tofeach amanat latfiach is wet enough to apply the din of god achit, but it has nothing to do with applying the din of Netilat Yadayim. Therefore, Ilfa is actually asking a very well-constructed question. Okay, so the pashtus of the Gemara, most Rishonim take, that indeed, although the Gemara never ends up dealing with it, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins that since we say Tefiachim and Atlat Fiach is a Chibur, and this is only a Dechiyah, that we can't prove it, so the pashtus is that indeed Tefiachim and Atlat Fiach is kosher for Netilat Yadayim as well. And this is how he paskins, despite the fact that there's a Yesh Ayrim, not like Mr. Ravan, and indeed, the Mishnah Berurah says, Shaykh to be Machmir, see himself brings the Yesh on. There's a very beautiful Chiddush. This is, again, a number of different halachas, because what it would mean is that as long as your hands are still wet, the Netila is still going on. In which case, if you speak, it shouldn't be a hafzik, because you haven't finished the Netila yet. Or, and this is a brilliant, or, which Reb Chaim Brisker says, or, if you washed your hands in the bathroom, if you dry your hands out of the bathroom, so then it means that actually you finished the Netilat Yadayim out of the bathroom, and therefore it's kosher, even though the bathroom was the thing that would have normally made you chayav in Netilat Yadayim again. Right? I mean, a lot of the Gedolim at the time of Reb Chaim did not take that very seriously, including the Chazon Ish. So it's nothing to do with it. I mean, obviously, if the place where you are with the water is the thing that's b'chayav in Netila, you can't view it as a new Netila. Fine, but anyway, this is what he was saying. As far as the Lamaisadika question, the truth is that according to many shitas, we don't even have bathrooms, Bismanazim. Because since our toilets are flushed and no dirt remains there, so it has a din of a pot that's washed out immediately, a chamber pot that's washed out immediately, doesn't have a din of a Beit HaKiseh, in which case anyway it wouldn't be Machayev. So there's definitely Yesh HaMalismar, especially if you're careful to dry your hands afterwards. Like Reb Chaim Brisker says, so you can take care of your Netilat Yadayim problems on board, and so on. There was a very wonderful, wonderful man that I knew very well personally, who wrote a lot of tshuvas for him. Chachama Ben Siona Bat Shaul. So he held, there was which was a big chap, but probably very not true. he had a very, very cute mind. You'll see for this. This is the kind of things he would say. So he says that the Gemara says that anyway, a Beit HaKiseh that's mit taltel is not called a Beit HaKiseh. So in other words, you're not koveya Beit HaKiseh with a chamber pot, and because it's mit taltel. So he says, so if you're on board a train, so it's not called a Beit HaKiseh because it's mit taltel. Obviously, that relates to the sugya that questions how we view something in something else relative to the outside world. That since lemaisa we end up going according to local space rather than outside space. It's probably not really metata, but it's a very cute story. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that I think concludes our questions for this time.